25. We're going to read just black and white words from God. All right? These commandments. We know the abbreviation. I want you to hear the whole commandment. I don't want us to remember and keep remembering those things we learned about the Ten Commandments, but I want us to hear. I want us to hear what they heard, and I want us to respond the way they responded. All right, start in verse 6. Deuteronomy 5, verse 6. Everybody? I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Now stop a second. Before God ever said, no other gods, no idols, don't misuse my name, remember the Sabbath day, honor your father and mother, don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't covet. Before God ever gave one commandment, he introduces himself. And folks, I think maybe this is where we probably ought to camp, but I got to say it to you, and then we'll move on. The God who wrote these commandments is the God who rescued those people. The God who expects us to do better in our lives than what we've done is the God who's already rescued us. He is on their side. He's on our side. And in that one verse, in verse 6, you see three things that you've already learned about God. He is powerful, He is faithful, and He is merciful. Write them down, circle them. We saw them already in Deuteronomy. We're going to hear them again and again and again. It's one of the things Jesus learned about His Father sitting in that class with that rabbi. The Lord our God is powerful, and the Lord our God is merciful, and the Lord our God is faithful. Now, I did it backwards, and I want you to know. Well, no, y'all were confused already, I promise. But you remember what we said? We repeated that. The Lord our God is faithful. And the Lord our God is merciful. And the Lord our God is powerful. That's what He's saying to these people. So before we ever go to seriously fussing, cussing, discussing these commandments, let's make sure we know the God who gave them. This is not about what I think. This is not about what I want. It's not about what you prefer. It's not about what we decided as a church. This is the Lord God speaking through Moses when He said, "You shall have no other gods before Me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate Me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love Me and keep My commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter nor your maidservant or your manservant or your maidservant, nor your ox, your donkey, or your animals, nor the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest. As you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, God, the Lord your God, has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, you shall not set your desire on your neighbor's house or land, his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And so Moses spoke again those Ten Commandments. Now, what was their reaction? What was their reaction? Look at verse 27. The last phrase, we will listen and obey. Underline it, circle it, star it, memorize it, because their response ought to be our response. When you hear those commandments, our response should be, we will listen and obey. Don't say it. Don't say it. Don't pray it. Don't sing it. Don't even meditate on it until you're ready to say it. Mean it. We will listen and obey. God hears them just like He hears us. And He said, I heard what these people said to you. Keep reading. Everything they said was good. Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and to keep my commandments always, all my commandments always, so that it might go well with them and their children forever. All right, I want you to circle the first one in verse 29. What does God want my response to be? What does God want my response to be when I read these commandments? What does God want my response? I'm not talking to you, not talking to anybody out there. What does God want my response to be when I read those commandments? No other gods, no idols, don't misuse His name, remember the Sabbath day, honor father and mother, don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't covet. What does God want my response to be? To fear Him. Circle it. Remember it. He wants us to fear Him. He wants us to have a healthy, holy, godly respect for the Lord God Almighty. Now, folks, we don't like that. In our culture, in our religious culture, we've taken all of that fear away. We love people to talk to us about the love of God, and thank God He loves us. And we love to hear about the mercy of God, and thank God He's merciful. Don't make light of any of those. But the truth is, when the Lord God gives commandments, does He expect us to respond? And the truth is, folks, it's how your children first learn. It's how your children first learn. Why do they do what you tell them to do at first? Because they have to. Why did I, all those years growing up, when my dad would say, boy, take out that trash, why did I do it? Because I love taking out the trash. It was my favorite thing to do. Why did I do those chores, whether it was feeding the pigs or the whatever we had at that time? Why did I do that? Because I loved going out in the cold and doing that. I loved leaving the smell of that house, that warm, comfortable house, and going out there in the cold and breaking the ice off that trough where those old pigs could eat and drink. Did I do that because I loved that? I did it because I was afraid of what His reaction would be if I told Him no. Now, I never learned that because I was angelic and just always agreed. But I had living proof from three brothers what happens when you say no. What happens? Do these people standing here know what happens when you say no to God? See it. Have you and I figured it out, what happens when we say no to God? When we choose a life we want to live and we don't care what God has to say and we start doing things our way rather than His way, we act as if there are no consequences. Now, we've talked about it before. I'm not apologizing for telling you to get it because I really believe it's what we've done. I think in our teaching, I think people on the television have done it to us. I think people in churches have done it to us. I think we've quoted the quote from Oprah that's caused us to believe it. We live in a time right now where we don't believe there's any consequences. We have turned God from being a father to us where there's an expectation and a fear of the consequences of not meeting those expectations to Him being a grandfather. What happens to a grandfather? What happens to a father when he becomes a grandfather? I watched it up close. I watched it up close. You know, when I was a boy, Dad, can I borrow you a nickel? Nickel? What do you got to need a nickel for, boy? Why don't you paint the house, plow the farm, pluck those chickens, shuck that corn, tote that bell, and I'll loan you 2 bits or 2 cents, and then you can pay me interest for 5. And then he got grandkids. And I watched my son go up to him and said, Big Bill, can I borrow you a dollar? A dollar, boy, ain't enough. Here's a 20. Whoa. Whoa. What happened? I can remember looking at him thinking, whoa, what happened here? There are 2 amazing, powerful things in the world that changes a person's life. The gospel of Jesus is the most powerful, but becoming a granddad, it runs a close second. The truth is, I saw it in my own life, and my kids remind me of it. You would never let... Well, I love my grandkids more than I do you. That's it. That's the point, you know? And what you've heard me say, I learned from him. I learned from him when he said, if I'd have known how much fun grandkids were going to be, I'd have started with them and skipped the kids. The point of us, we've allowed God to become a grandfather. There are no expectations. Grandpa's telling the grandkids, oh, don't play with grandma's pretties. You might break. Crack. Oh, that's okay. Grandpa, buy her another one. We believe that that's the way God views us. We've stopped seeing God as the Almighty. We've stopped seeing God as a Father who demands, expects, intends for us to respect Him. Now I'm going to say it to you. Why does He want that? Because He's just selfish and cold-hearted. Now, why does He want that? You've read it. Why does He want that? Because it's what's best for us. It is what's best for us. So our attitude needs first to be respect for God. A respect for the words and the will of God. When Moses stood and read these commandments again, he meant for them to one more time be reminded, ooh, God is serious about this. So maybe this morning we need to be reminded. Folks, God is serious about this. God is serious about this. He intends for us to not only fear Him, but look at the next one. Look at the next one. He intends for us to say the word in the text. Keep or obey all my commandments always. Now, when God repeats a phrase, what do we know? He's serious, right? So he says it in one sentence. I want all my commandments kept always. But what if you're in love? But what if you're in love? Do you have to keep all of his commandments always? But not if you're in love. Because if you're in love, all commandments, always. But what if you really want to do something else? I mean, you really want to. It's not that you want to be disrespectful to God. You just really want to do something, and it just really makes a lot more sense. And my friends told me they think I should do this. All His commandments, always. Yeah, but you don't understand. You don't understand, Rex. And you don't understand. You just don't understand, Mom. You don't understand, Dad. You don't understand. Church, you just don't understand. All commandments, always. Whether we understand or not, whether we believe it or not, whether it's we like it or not, whether it, we love or not. All commandments, always. There are no loopholes. Yeah, but you don't understand. The way my wife treats me, or the way my husband treats me, or the way my boss treats me, or the way my employees treat me, you just don't understand. You don't know how... All commandments, always. Now, where did I get all those excuses? Where did I get all those excuses? But I'm in love. Oh, a better one. But I'm so lonely. Or I'm just afraid. Or I don't understand. Or you don't understand. Where'd I get those? Where'd I get those? And let's be honest, where'd I get those? Started with me, and I suspect I've heard a few of you say the same things. All commandments. You tell me, all commandments.
Always.
Fear God and keep all his commandments always. Now, make sure we understand. I want you to tell me why. I want you to look from there to the end of chapter 5. Start there and look to the end of chapter 5 and tell me, why does God expect it? Why is He so hard on demanding that we obey Him? Why would He be so mean as to say all commandments always? Why would God say such a thing? Look at the last phrase of verse 29. And then look at the last phrase of verse 33. Why does God want me to keep all of His commandments always? Because it's what's good for me. It's what's best for me. Now, I got to tell you, and this is us, and I didn't look around to see if we got any fresh faces, but if you're visiting today, if this sounds mean, oops. But we need to talk about it. I got a text from one of us the other day. And I'm not going to look right at you, but I got a text from one of us the other day that said, I don't understand why God is making it so hard. And I remember when I read the text, I thought it's so interesting. Why does God make it so hard? Because the truth in this particular matter was, God hadn't done a thing. And it made me look back at my own life, the times where I thought, now are there times when God gives us discipline to help us grow in the image of Jesus? Yes. Are there times that we will face challenges so we can become more like Him? Yes. But in the situation this person was talking about, and in my situation I'm talking about, I'm not throwing anybody on the bus. It's me. I did it too. When tough things came my way, you know why they came? Because I'd made choices that were against the Word and the will and the wisdom of God. And when you do that, you have consequences that you've got to... And guess what? It is hard. But it wasn't God who made them hard. It was me who made them hard. It was you who made them hard. So what do? Start over. Suck it up. Man up. You decide, I am going to do better this time. I'm going to do better. Now, is it all of a sudden I'd make that decision and everything's rainbows and butterflies and unicorns and stuff? No. It's sometimes hard to get through stuff. And how many illustrations do you want? Everybody in this room that knows anything about addiction would give anything in the world if they could reverse the time and make the decision, I'm never going to take the first drink. I'm never going to take the first drug. Because if you never took the first one, you'd have never had to quit. My mother used to say that to me, and I thought, well, duh, Ma. But it was so right. She said, if you don't ever start, Rex, you don't ever have to stop. But I can't go back and undo it. I can't go back and undo the things I've done. So what do I have to do? What do I have to do? You tell me. What do I have to do? Right now. This is my life right now. And I obey all ways. I need to obey all commandments in all ways. Will there be a blessing? Yes. Will it always be easy? No. But your life will be better. Your life will be better God promised, if you keep His command, all His commandments in all ways. There's the promise, right? Now, how does He say do it? How does He say do it? Keep reading. I want you to look at, we read it last week, but I want you to see it again because Moses repeats it. It's okay for me too. I want you to look at verse 30. Go and tell them to return to their tents, but you stay here with me so that I may give you all the commands, decrees, and laws you are to teach them to follow. Circle it. Follow. He doesn't want me just to know His commandments. He wants me to follow. He doesn't want me to just keep His commandments when I think of them. He wants me to follow. Now keep reading. So be careful, that word. So be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Walk in all the way. There it is again. Walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you. What does He mean by follow? What does He mean by walk? I'll use that word and mean it. I think that there's something else He wants us to understand. This goes beyond the keep the commandments. This goes beyond the keep the commandments. This is an application beyond that. What is the application? What does it mean to follow them? What does it mean to walk in them? To live them. Because I can keep commandments and say, I've kept them. Jesus will have people show up. And they will say to Him, I have kept the commandments. What does that imply? For somebody to be able to say, I have kept the commandments. I know what they are and I did them once. Thou shalt not kill. Kept that one. Can't what promise what's going to happen Thursday, but I kept that one. You see? I remember standing in front of an audience of people way bigger than in a place that if it was a hay barn, we could have fed all the cows in Texas if it was full of hay. And I read the words, thou shalt not commit adultery. And I was able to say with a clear conscience, I have never done that. I can't say that now, and you know that. But at that time, I could say, I've kept the commandment. It's not about keeping the commandments and saying you're done. No, following the commandments, walking in the commandments means you do what? You do it all the time. It's a part of everything you do. It's a part of everything you do. It's the way you make choices about your mate. It's the way you make choices about your children. It's the way you make choices about your job. It's the way you make choices about your friends. It's the way you make choices about your body. We live in this room, not talking about anybody else. We live sometimes in a turmoil of impulse. We can't figure out why we can't quit. And you just fill in the list. You want to know? Or you want to give me the list? I just can't seem to quit. Give me the list. Let's be honest. I just can't seem to quit smoking. I just can't seem to quit cussing. I just can't seem to quit drinking. I just can't seem to quit shopping. I just can't seem to quit procrastinating. I just can't seem to quit fornicating. I just can't seem to quit worrying. I just can't seem to quit judging. I just can't seem to quit helping my kids when it's detrimental to you. I just can't help. I just can't quit. Nobody said eating. Nobody said eating. But there's some of us in here There's some of us in here that are struggling with those choices. And I'm talking about struggling with those choices. I just can't quit. Just can't seem to quit. Controlling my watching porn or watching those kind of movies or getting on those games or lying to my boss or taking what doesn't belong to me. You understand? God's not saying, did you keep it? Check, 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 check. No, he's saying, are you living it? The God that is the God Almighty, the Lord our God Almighty, faithful, powerful, merciful God, looks at us and says, I want you to live these things. And it makes a difference. It makes a difference in the choices we make on how we treat these bodies. Make a difference in the way we choose our mates or care for our mates. It makes a difference in the way we raise our children and raise our grandchildren. It makes a difference in the way we live. What happens? What happens in your life if we do it? If we could do it, let's don't do we collective. What would happen in my life? What would happen in your life if you decided, if I decided, we're going to listen and obey? You'd prosper. What would happen in your life? Listen and obey. What would happen in you? Peace. What would happen in you?
You get disciplined
less, yes. Might be happy. What would happen if you decided I'm really going to listen and obey? What would happen?
Less worry.
What would happen? You'd be blessed. What would happen?
Freedom.
What would happen? Okay, before I tie the knot, I'm going to tell you. Somebody sitting in the first meeting, very godly person, knowledgeable person, said, you know, if I did that, what the statement was, all of my problems would go away. And I try not to do this, but I had to stop, and I said, that's not true. Are you still going to have trouble? Is it possible for you to keep all the commandments always, and people lie about you?
Yes.
Is it possible for people to betray you?
Yes.
Is it possible for people to spread rumors about you?
Yes.
Is it possible for people to desert you?
Yes.
Is it possible for people to mock you? Is it possible for people to spit on you and whip you and shame you and put you on a cross? Because the only man I know that did all of those things suffered all of those things. My life may not be easier, but my life will be better. My life may not be any easier, but it will be simpler. Because if I trust and obey, if I listen and obey, I'm going to quit letting other things distract me, and I'm going to focus on doing what I've got to do. It's a matter of making a choice of how to live your life according to God's principles than circumstances. Simplify your life. Keep His commandments and walk in them. Jesus did it. Jesus did it. And so this morning when you eat this bread, that's His body. His body did it. His body got up in the morning and did what was right. His body said no to sin and yes to His Father. I mean, His body did that. Our bodies can do the same. We can take charge and control of our bodies. We can. Will not be easy because we've kind of given them their head. We've kind of given them, not used any discipline before. But we can do that. We can take charge. That's an example. That bread reminds us of His body. Let's take charge of our bodies. But that also, that cup, that fruit of the vine, that little bit of grape juice that you're going to drink, that's His blood. He says, that's my blood. And it forgives all our sins. So let's examine ourselves this morning. Let's examine ourselves. What do I need? Not what anybody else needs to do. Well, I know what they need to do. I know what. No. Not about it. What do I need to do? What do I need to do to get my body back in line with the will of God? And what do I need His grace to forgive for all the things I've messed up so I can live long enough to get back in the grace of God and live in that grace of God? Let's thank God for His example, the example of Jesus, and let's thank God for His grace that forgives us when we're not like Him. And let's do that. Let's make that examination of ourselves while we eat this bread and drink this cup.